Welcome to Local SEO Today. On this podcast, John Fong interviews business professionals and entrepreneurs in many fields to uncover challenges and successes in business ownership. Our goal is to provide you with insights into the entrepreneurship journey and give you tips and advice from real experience. Brought to you by Local SEO Search, based in Toronto, Canada.
I'd like to welcome our guest today, Kenny Klein. He's the founder and managing partner of Jack Solutions, a digital marketing agency in New York. Kenny's area of expertise is traffic generation, lead capture, and conversion for small businesses. He's a serial entrepreneur in the digital technology and fashion sectors, having founded Med Preps LLC and Bar Ben. Thanks for joining us today, Kenny.
Yeah, glad to be on.
Well, I know you're a busy man, so I'll get right to the chase. And really, if you can let the audience members know a little bit about yourself, what do people know you by, and how did you get started?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, yeah, I'm Kenny. I run Jack Media, which most people don't know the name Jack Media. It's more of a holding company for four brands, which we hope people know the name of, Barbend, Sleepopolis, Security Baron, and Mattress Clarity. So we run those four sites. We are working out of two offices, one in Brooklyn, New York, the other in Austin, Texas. And I've been in the digital marketing space for probably like 9 years now. I kind of entered by accident, but I'm glad to be here and have experienced a lot of different things and had a number of false starts along the way. But yeah, it's been a very interesting journey, and always happy to chat with people like yourselves and like your audience that kind of get the space and are looking for, you know, the next marketing strategy or whatever that takes them to the next level.
No, that's amazing. So you don't look that, you know, 9 years is a long time, right? And
right.
Like you're in your 30s. So how did things start off, and, you know, how did you even get started in this space?
Yeah, so it was funny. I studied physics at school. And okay. So I loved the study, but I ended up doing a few lab rotations during the summer and just hated it, the lab part. So I was like, you know, so going out of school, I was like, I don't know what I'm going to do. So I ended up working at a bank as a quant, so like doing a lot of statistics on the back end. And this was mostly in San Francisco. So I was sitting there in San Francisco doing all this statistical coding and stuff. And this was 2009, 2010 approximately. And, you know, similar to San Francisco today, everyone's got their app, everyone's got their idea. So I was sitting there and I was like, well, maybe I should do something, you know, like I didn't know anything, but I knew how to code, right? And I didn't even know how to web code, but, you know, I knew kind of like all the database stuff and like, you know, PHP and all the basic stuff. So, you know, the front end back in the day, it was not as difficult to pick up or comprehensive as it is now. So I picked up the front end, and at the time, my sister was a dietitian, just graduated from being a dietitian at school. And it's a really small market, like 2,500 dietitians a year are certified, something like that.
Yeah.
And she was like, yeah, we've got these study tools and they're terrible. You know, I paid $150 for these physical flashcards that came in the mail, and they had like typos on them and stuff. Yeah. And I was like, oh, well, we should just make something better for fun. So I made, I coded up a website and an app for these dietitians, and my sister made the content. And we were, you know, just kind of like for fun to help her study. And we're like, oh, we'll sell it. And, you know, we sold it for like $40 or $50.
Yeah.
And because there was no competition, the first year, like 80% of the market, like 2,000 people used thing, which if you do the math, it adds up to some decent, you know, it's not like we were instantly rich, but we're like, oh, we have like a business kind of, you know, unexpectedly. And that's, you know, one, it was fun, my first foray into the digital sector. And then two, it's like understanding the power of these really small audiences. Because we're like, oh, we're just, you know, I'm just a guy in San Francisco in my apartment, you know, like, and like, you think of Test Prep as like Kaplan or Princeton Review or these massive companies. But because we were like such a niche thing, like none of them had resources for it, and ended up being revenue that maybe in their eyes was pretty small, but for us was a pretty big deal. So we expanded to a bunch of other markets, similar to like dietitians, but just like they're in the medicals field. Yeah. There's so many different things. Yeah. That certifications in the US, endless tests that people have to prepare for, essentially.
Yeah, of course.
So we just kept, and that's where I really started to learn about marketing, because the app, you know, I made the first app and it's pretty easy to just make another one that's very, very similar and put in new content.
Yeah.
For nurses or for, you know, phlebotomists or for whatever we came up with. But then marketing is where we wanted to where I need to learn more to grow the business. So I started learning more about that. And after that trajectory, it was going great for 2 years. You're kind of just on this, literally, I remember the graph is this hockey stick.
Yeah.
And I'd outsourced a lot of stuff. I outsourced the SEO to this firm, and it's a pretty affordable firm, you know, small company. And then Penguin hits, which is an SEO penalty, for all of you that don't know, in 2012. So my traffic just went away. And I had no idea why, because I barely knew what SEO was. And it was kind of just, you know, I was like, what have these guys even been doing for my SEO? I don't know. And they've been building a certain type of links that was not good. And so that point, it didn't end that business, but it kind of capped it, where we thought maybe this could turn into something really big, but ended up being like a fine lifestyle business for the next few years. Paved the way for me to learn, you know, take some time and learn about stuff. So I dove into SEO, dove into marketing.
Oh, that's awesome.
Followed all these online gurus just initially to figure out what happened. And then I got kind of the bug and I was like, oh, well, I could do other sites just based on SEO, just based on digital marketing.
Yeah.
So I ended up doing that. I launched a few smaller sites that got a lot of traffic, but didn't make that much money, kind of funny areas and niches. And then eventually, went back to business school, just because honestly my wife wanted to move to New York and I didn't know what I was going to do there, so I was like, I'll apply to Columbia Business School just to see. And ended up going, and there I met my partner, who had a little bit of experience in the mattress industry as a retailer. And so we talked about my background, his background, put it together, and we launched first website of Jack Media, which was Mattress Clarity, a mattress site, and it ended up over time doing really well. Nice. And that has allowed us to just keep growing and growing and growing and launch the other brands and kind of grow to what we are today.
So what's your core business today then? Is it, do you focus on small, medium size for lead gen, and you offer digital media?
For now, so when we started Jack Media, it was probably half-half, half consulting, mostly SEO consulting, but kind of we took whatever we could get, did some AdWords, did some Facebook ads, whatever they needed. Oh, yeah, we can do that too,
And then we'll figure out how to do it.
And then we figure out how to do it. So that was half the business, and that was really just to pay the bills. And then we started launching our own sites, with the first one being Mattress Clarity, and then some others, and those we monetize via lead gen or affiliate sales or ads or kind of a mix of all that stuff as well. And over the years, we shifted almost entirely to those sites, just because we're not great at sales and we didn't like being yelled at by clients, and because SEO is a tough business. I'm sure these days even tougher to sell, because the whole pitch is hey, pay us all this money and and in 8 months, something good will probably happen, but we're not even sure about that, necessarily. So it was just a tough sell, and I get it on both sides. But so now we've shifted mostly to covering our own websites.
That's awesome. I mean, I love the journey that you've gone through, because you saw a niche while in San Francisco. I mean, you didn't go to school in San Francisco, did you?
No, I didn't.
Look for employment there. And then you hung out with a lot of these tech people, because it's, the hub of the US. Mm-hmm. And everyone had an app, or there's tons of startups and founders. So you get that kind of idea. And then you found an opportunity that's not even You know, there's so much out there. Like, people have to realize, if you find an opportunity and all it is a niche, and it doesn't have to make you millions, it makes you comfortable, right?
Yeah.
That's all you need to get started. You can't dream of being like a one-hit wonder, like, you know, Facebook or Google. Like, those are one in a trillion, right?
Right.
So go after the small little, you know, wins so that it builds your momentum as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, that was our entire goal starting this company. We weren't dreaming big at all. We should have been dreaming even bigger, probably. But we were like, well, what if we like didn't have to get a job and kind of just did this instead and like had some money left over to invest in like some other idea.
Yeah.
So that was the entire goal. And then we just kept growing and growing and growing it. And now it's become kind of this big thing, but nothing really changed. We just kept getting better at it and kind of expanding it and growing it that way. So I think you're absolutely right. It's, you know, if you can figure out a way to focus and build something, there are endless opportunities to make money with the internet. You know, it's kind of this new thing. It's 20-ish years old, and still we're not very good at it. And there's so many as a society, you know, and there's so many opportunities to build a small business or a medium business on the internet.
I love entrepreneurs because they actually took action. You did something about it. There was a need, there was an opportunity, and you found a solution for people, right? And there's tons of solutions out there that are required for a lot of different professions and a lot of industries that are untapped, right?
Right.
So you just have to be on the lookout for it and spot the opportunities, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So that's awesome. I love the journey, right? Because, you know, you've been doing it a little bit longer than myself. I started 6 years ago, and my background was more, I worked with a lot of local business owners, and I saw a need while at Yellow Pages, and that's how I kind of got the ball rolling. But, I mean, this podcast is not about me, it's about you. So so along the lines, I mean, you mentioned you didn't really go to school for business, right? But you
had not until later.
Like, how did you even learn how to design apps? Or did you know how to code before, or was this kind of self-taught because you saw there was a need?
It definitely self-taught. I mean, so I knew from physics how to do like statistical programming, which like nobody, now it's become a cool, they call us data scientists now, but back in the day, everyone's like, what do we do with this? You know, this doesn't matter.
All it is the analytics, I think.
So like, I was pretty good at it. But it's kind of like in 2008, you know, it was the financial crisis. So they were looking for statistical people to come in and like figure out what happened and how to protect the banks and stuff. And so I went in and became a pretty good statistical coder, but honestly, not a ton of that, like the mindset transfers, but the actual like hard skills don't really transfer to like building a website or something.
Gotcha.
Generally. So it's not like I just sat there and like, oh, cool, let me make a website. I had a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And I think it's funny, I sound like an old guy when I say this, but I'm like, I learned how to code from a physical book. You know, like I bought a book, I think it was Coding for Dummies or PHP for Dummies or something, and like was paging through it and trying to build the website. And these days, I mean, it's so easy to learn how to code, and coding has become so much easier. Like I remember like to accept payments, it took me like 3 months to figure out how to like code that. And it was this like insane, like backend process through PayPal to like take a credit card, like all this really hardcore programming. Now it's like boom, Stripe's up like 30 seconds later.
Here's a plugin. Boom.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot of learning, and like I was, with all entrepreneur things, I was terrible at it at the beginning. I made a terrible looking website, but you know, people forget how much has changed since like 2010, where you know, I had an okay looking website for 2010. If you looked at it now, you'd be like, what is this thing? You know, like, So I had a lot to learn. I mostly figured it out. I had like a friend or two that were really good coders. So they would give me advice if I got totally stuck. But most of the time I was just figuring stuff out on my own and, you know, hitting refresh and seeing if it works and that type of thing.
That's awesome to hear. So I guess during that journey of yours, at the beginning, did you have people that kind of supported you to focus on this entrepreneurial, venture? Or were there mentors, coaches, or did you have support outside of your sister?
I had another partner that for med preps that I ended up, one of my best friends from college. So he did a lot of like the business and other types of management stuff.
Yeah.
And like a great emotional support. You know, I have a very wonderful group of people in my life that helped me, but no one was really giving me good advice, business-wise when I was starting out, and not because they didn't want to, but you know, I wasn't really surrounded by entrepreneurs growing up or anything.
Yeah.
And in the like, whatever that space would be, like digital marketing space, there weren't that many people back then that really knew what they were doing.
Yeah.
But after that, like once I really got into SEO, I joined a number of like masterminds and groups and things like that. Yeah. Not all of them were productive, but in the end, you figure stuff out on the way, and have since had a lot of like great people that I look up to as peers, as mentors as well in my life. I'd say my father-in-law is a very successful entrepreneur. And so I go to him. He's in a totally different industry. He's like a payroll guy, but he's built a couple of successful companies. So when, you know, especially when you start managing a bunch of people, something goes wrong, I call him up. I'm like, hey, what do I do?
No, that's awesome.
He's always got great advice. Yeah.
Well, it's always good to have people that you can trust, right? Especially if you're trying to do everything yourself. It's always good to have, just someone to ask questions, right?
Yeah.
And this is the whole point of having mentors or colleagues or friends that actually understand what you're going through. Because honestly, none of your friends understand what is really going on in your life as an entrepreneur, right? Like you can't go for a drink. Let's go for a dinner or a coffee or a drink and explain what is really going on. It'll be like, woo, way past them, right? Yeah. And they're like, well, I tap in at 9, I leave at 5, and this is all I have to do, and I don't think of bringing home work, right? And these concerns that a business owner has to go through, it's like no one can really understand unless you're going through it yourself.
Yeah, no, you're 100% right. And that's what this year especially, I think I realized that myself, because it's been just so many years of not turning it off where, you know, like you said, a lot of people go home at 5, and even if it's a bad day, they don't come back until tomorrow. And if you have a bad day as an entrepreneur, you know, it's just on your mind and you have to, it's consumes, you know, it's like a lot of so many nights, so many weekends spent either working or if not actually working, then just stressing about that I should be working or, figuring this new thing out. And so this year, especially, I had a baby my first child about a year ago. And you add that on, which is 100% a blessing. You know, it's not a complaint, but it just adds another element of stuff to do in life, which is wonderful. But, you know, you pile it all on, you're like, wow, my mind is really consumed with a lot of things all the time. And it's like something that if you're not an entrepreneur, you know, you're not necessarily familiar with that, at least from like a work perspective.
No, I mean, that's the best life, experience, right? Having a child, going through family experiences, mm-hmm. as well as business experiences, because mm-hmm. you're kind of then realizing like there's so much more to life than work. Right? Because then you have to prioritize, right? Because before you had your child, you can spend endless hours at work. Now, if you do that, your wife is going to be very upset.
Right.
And you actually want to spend time with your child because he's at that age, right?
Exactly.
It's time management to a T, especially if you have young children or you have a family, right?
Yeah, it's a great challenge to have, a privileged challenge to have, but something that I've had to work through this year.
It's a great experience for sure. I have a young child myself, so I tried as much as possible to organize my day so that I can make sure I drop him off and pick him up at school and spend a lot of the evenings with him because, you know, it's so important, right? Like being a father and being present, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's the most important thing.
Exactly. So in terms of some of the challenges that you kind of face, because you've gone through multiple businesses, there's been ups and downs, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. What did you have to go through, and how did you overcome them? Some of the setbacks that you've had.
Yeah, I mean, probably in every category, there's been at least one setback. You know, I think, you know, you're familiar with this as well. With a lot of the digital marketing stuff, there's always just such wild fluctuation in what works and what doesn't work, and that type of thing. And so many times I'm like, all right, I figured it out. Like, now I can just keep executing this plan, and like, we can keep growing, or, you know, and not worry about a downturn at least. And then some algorithm hits, and then boom, like that, you know, that website lost 40% of its traffic. And you're like, what, you know, like, and we operate in a very white hat, SEO term. So that wasn't always the case when I first started out. You know, I was taught black hat stuff from these stuff. And so the wild fluctuations there, I was just like, I can't deal with that. I don't want to deal with that. I want to build something over a long period of time. Yeah, I have to do white hat stuff. And so for the last, with all of Jack Media, it's been, you know, 5.5 years of that, but you still see wild fluctuations. Especially over the last year and a half, we're kind of in like the health YMYL sector. Yeah. And so it's just been crazy. The changes in our traffic, even though we're really trying to do everything the right way. And I think that we do, but there's these shifts that where your traffic goes up, traffic goes down. And that's, you know, tough to handle. So just dealing with that and responding in a level-headed way and not letting the stress consume you is always a challenge. Because in a way, it's like you're working as hard as you can, but then it's out of your control, like so many things in life. So that's a stressful one for sure. And other big challenges, I think, are just like growing a team. And I think I'm really proud of the team that we have. We just hired a 32nd person, I think, this week. So it's a pretty small team, you know, everybody knows everyone pretty well. But just like trying to invest in those people and making sure the environment is such where they can thrive here and have a good career here and grow and do great work and be challenged and have good lives. You know, like, it's a lot of work there, and we don't, you know, we haven't, certainly haven't got it 100% right any of the time, not even right now, I'm sure. But I'm proud of like how we've tried, at least, which I think people generally are aware of at our company, and in a number of cases have succeeded anyway. So, but you know, the downs there where, you know, all of the people at the company, all the managers really want to do right by our employees. And so if we ever feel like we missed or something goes wrong in that sense, you know, that's always been really a challenge for me. In the moment, like, and it's an opportunity to respond well. And I think, like I said, most of the time we have, but you know, it's tough when you miss in that area, I think.
Yeah. I mean, team building, or especially if you've never worked in a large organization, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was fortunate enough that I worked at multiple companies, mm-hmm. and I was able to learn from managers, directors, VPs, and see how their style is, how to organize meetings, mm-hmm. what they say, how it's actually presented. All that is a vital lesson as a business owner, especially when you're scaling your business as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, when you're only a 2 to 5 employee, it's a lot easier because you can just talk to anyone and, you know, just brainstorm. But when you start having layers and teams and managers, and there's multiple layers, and it's no longer a flat level alignment, mm-hmm. it becomes a little bit more challenging.
So yeah,
same
yeah.
with like collaborating with content or information as well, right? Like, mm-hmm. how do you streamline the information to hit every single person in different projects, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's something we've definitely missed on. It's just like conveying information, especially as you go, like you said, from like 5 to 10 to like 20, all of a sudden everyone just knew everything. And then all of a sudden some people don't. And it's like, they're like, why don't I know stuff? And you're like, oh, I don't know. Like, I was just sitting here and I thought of it and I told that person and then we started doing it, but then you left out, you know? And so it just, the dynamic changes for sure. What I've been told by a lot of entrepreneurs is that kind of like that 20 to 40 or 50 range is really tough for that reason, because you don't have those processes established. You don't have like an HR person that sits there and thinks about only these things, you know? Once you get to like 40, 50, you probably have that person. But in this kind of nebulous zone, it's kind of like you're, you know, I'm the business owner and I'm doing this and I'm doing, you know, everything. A bunch of other stuff. So you want to do it all well, but sometimes, you know, you miss. So.
And I think this is when you start really focusing on processes, right? What is the processes for a new hire? What are the training protocols? What are some of the softwares they need? Like, especially when they're being replicated, like the same kind of role, right? So yeah, especially when you're scaling, right? You need processes in place. If you're a small business owner, you know, 1 to 5, then maybe you don't need to. But if you're looking at really growing your business, you should really focus on that.
Yeah.
So these were really good, some major points. In terms of the advice, because I know you've, you know, like you mentioned, there was that huge spike when you were early on, but then you were hit with that penalty.
Right.
You know, how can you mitigate that stuff now? Now that you've gone through it all, what would you do different? And, you know, how can you let some of the audience members know, like, how has your perspective changed over the years, like in terms of thought process and being an entrepreneur? How do you work differently?
Yeah, I think particularly with the team growing, there's an extra sense of responsibility where things can't go really bad or else it affects other people's lives, you know, not just your own. So I think in that sense, it's kind of like we try to mitigate that downside as much as we can. And there's a number of different things that we do, like from anything from SEO strategy and investing in certain types of brand stuff or link stuff or site stuff, to make sure that, you know, if we're doing most things right, you probably won't get totally decimated. You know, you might still go down, but it doesn't mean your company's going to be over, type of thing. And hopefully you go up in general. So I think that's the one thing, is just strategically, like, leaving a lot of margin in the business, leaving a lot of, you know, cash to weather the storm, if it comes, and hopefully it doesn't. But particularly as you're adding a lot of team members and trying to grow more, it's always being aware of, you know, what your budget can handle now, but in like a worst case scenario, making sure you're still like okay, and wanting to be able to invest in and grow, even if you have like a down quarter, a down 6 months, or a down year even. So that's definitely been a big perspective change. And I think other than that, you know, after it's been about 5.5 years with this business, which is a long time, or feels like a long time in the long grand scheme of life, it's not super long. But, you know, early years, you're always so excited about this aspect of whatever you're doing. And I'm still excited about stuff, but you always feel like this is going to be the thing that, like, propels you to the 10x bigger than you are, you know, or whatever. And after the last 5.5 years, it hasn't, you know, we've never done one thing that just catapulted us to the next level. It's always just consistently doing a lot of good things, and being really strategic about it. And so I think that's been the lesson as well, is to not like get caught up in the latest trend or something. Where once you get into that like guru zone where you learn something good, then another one pops up and you're like, well, maybe we should do this too. Maybe, you know, what about our email marketing? We need to, you know, there's so many things you can, that we can become better at, even though we've gotten so much better than we were before. So it's more about being really strategic and thinking about how we allocate our resources and my time, my team's time to have an advantage, a long-term advantage. So it's like, you know what, if we're great at SEO, and we can be 10% better, is that the right decision? Or should we go into email marketing and really grow that? Or should we double down on YouTube? Or, you know, it's all these decisions on that type of allocation that we think about now. And a lot of it, like I said, comes to diversification as well, where, it's about becoming at this point really good at a couple things at least. So that if one thing goes bad, at least, you know, we're buoyed by some of the other stuff.
No, that's a really good point, because people get so caught up with all the latest hacks and growth hackers and 10x terms and, you know, everything out there that says it's so easy to make so much more if you try this, right?
Yes. Yeah.
However, it's a selling feature, and what they're trying to do is bait people to it, right? As a business owner, you just have to realize, like, nothing's easy in life. Like, running a business is not easy.
Yeah.
People who think it is, or people think that SEO is going to be the, you know, greatest thing for their business, it's not really going to be it if you really believe it, right? Like, that's their selling tactic. It's right. Really a slow and steady growth projection is the way to go. And if you think about, like, just your mom and pop small business owner, like the dental office, lawyer office, they're content with making a couple million dollars a year, and they do it for 20 years, and you live a happy life. What's wrong with that, right?
That's a great life, yeah.
Versus you try to make, a, you know, 10x or 10 million, but you fail for 20 years, right? Like, you know, it's okay to go slow and steady.
Yeah.
And that's why people are used to or comfortable with getting a real job, right? Like what they consider a real job, right?
Yeah.
Like a stable income. People don't mind that because they have other expenses, mortgages and costs and living and all that stuff. So as an entrepreneur, it's okay to grow 10, 20% a year as long as you're steady growth, right? And there's no very big dips.
Yeah, exactly. And if you prepare for the dips, then you know, it's going to be fine. If you look at the media too, it's always such a skew where, you know, who does TechCrunch write about? They write about these, you know, the crazy success stories where it's like, first they raised a million and then 10 million and then 100 million and they're 13 months old. And you're like, well, what have I been doing? You know, and like those companies do exist. They're just so rare. And, and those entrepreneurs are very talented, but it's also a bit of luck.
Exactly. Timing, luck. There's a lot of other factors. And yes, they're going to put that in the media because it's going to garnish a lot of views, a lot of, you know, attraction. People want to hear those stories. They don't want to hear the slow and boring, you know, track of majority of the businesses out there, right? It's okay for you as a business owner because you're at least, you know, supporting your staff and your family, and you're able to do a lot more for your life as well, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, that's awesome. So this is a question you probably can answer quite well. In terms of running a small business, how has technology changed or software changed over the years since you started to what it is today? And what do you currently use for some of your businesses?
Sure. I mean, it's changed dramatically. I feel like there's barely any software in 2010, which doesn't make sense to say, but 9 years, things have gone from almost unusable to, you know, in almost any aspect of your business, there's usually at least a few good options that that do the job really, really well and are easy to use and that type of thing. So I'll list some of my favorites. We use, for SEO stuff, we're big fans of Ahrefs. It's probably our number one tool. I'll use Uber Suggests. I've been using a lot for keyword research. Now that's a new one. Yeah, we use vidIQ a good bit for our YouTube stuff, which is looking at keyword stuffs and trends in YouTube specifically. Those are probably my three favorites. And then on the admin side, there's a bunch of tools. You know, how do we get paid? How do we keep, you know, stuff that that are fine? We love Bench Bookkeeping is actually my favorite one that I use. Invoicing, we've used QuickBooks and FreshBooks, kind of standard. Yep. Seems like everyone uses probably one of those too. What else do we use? I would say those are the ones that really drive a lot of the business. And I've tried thousands, you know, of different things. But those are the ones we've kind of stuck with and I use, like, you know, daily or at least weekly.
Yeah, I think you're in the same boat as us, right? Which is tech. And we have the ability to see what's out there and try different you know, software and see what works for your business. Mm-hmm. As a small business owner, it's very difficult to even understand any of this stuff and then figure out what to use and have a team to actually test and trial it or not, right? Like, if you're not tech savvy, it's very difficult to even, you know, understand how this integrates with your existing systems or software, right?
Yeah, that's always the trick, yeah. But yeah, with email, we have that, of course. Yeah, I forgot about that category entirely.
Oh, yeah, email. There's a lot of other tools and, you know, gadgets, I'm sure. But as a small business owner, you got to figure out what can improve your life. Figure out what is slowing you down. And there has to be better efficiencies in terms of technology and processes. If you can figure that out and streamline it so that you can save time and less errors, that's something you should really look into.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what whenever a person is starting a new business or a pretty young business and they come to me for advice on this stuff, I have a really strict list of things that I tell them to use. And because, like, listen, this stuff is, it's at least, like, in my opinion, the top 10% of stuff. And maybe one, you know, maybe this payroll thing works is a little bit better, but you have to try 20 of them to find that other one. Yeah. And it's not worth your time to do that. Like, here's a great list of stuff that I use that I think is really good, if not the best, and it all integrates with each other. So, hey, I just saved you like a year and a half of
doing demos.
Testing and but it doesn't do that one thing that we need. So you start over again. You know? So many times we did that, but.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's the key too. Like, it's okay. Like, there's always going to be new stuff out there, and today's stuff, there's always a solution. There's so much out there. I mean, and the ability to access it at your fingertips on a smartphone, like there's an app for everything now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And even software, there's APIs everywhere. Mm-hmm. Right? So everything's integrated to whatever software you have.
Right.
So figure that out. And once you have those in mind, then you can easily scale and utilize it for the rest of your team.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, this is a little controversial when I say it, but I think going with established players is always, it makes things easier, at least in the beginning, until you really like use something that everyone uses until you're too good for it, essentially. Right. Whereas, like, if someone's just starting out, like, email is a great example where there's so many awesome advanced systems now. But, like, if someone's just starting out, I'm like, just use MailChimp, because that one's, or one of those, you know, one of the three, four that are really big, because MailChimp integrates with everything, super easy to use. And, like, I don't use MailChimp now because I, you know, we outgrew it with what we do. But if you're just starting out, like, don't jump to the most advanced thing, because
don't jump to HubSpot or Infusionsoft right away, right? Like, figure out what works for you. And the budget might not be ready for you, especially you don't have a mailing list either, right?
Like, so you always assume, like, when we get to 100,000 subscribers, MailChimp won't work, so we might as well just skip it. It's like, well, why don't you get to 60,000? Like, that's the hard part.
Get to the first 500, like, start small, right? Like,
going from MailChimp to Infusionsoft when you have 100,000 subscribers, that's a great problem to have, you know?
No, I totally agree. And some of these software and tools that you talked about, I mean, unless you're in the tech world, you'll understand it. But if you're not, and you're just the average business owner that is just starting off, don't get too caught up with what's the latest and greatest. Just see what is useful for your purpose, right? And you don't blow all your money right off the bat either, because, you know, you might be bootstrapping. You might not have, you know, VCs or a backing, right? So if you don't have a backing, then you got to be frugal and you got to figure things out yourself, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I started bootstrapping it all and kind of figuring things out myself. And that's how I kind of grew the company. But I know there's different ways for growth, right?
Yeah, and,
depending on what kind of business you're growing and starting.
Yeah, no, 100%.
So what are your thoughts about networking events? Have you gone through that whole process of trying to meet other entrepreneurs locally, forums online, communities, mastermind groups? What are your thoughts on that?
I definitely used to do a lot more than I do now. I think generally, if you view it as a networking opportunity, like these conferences, you know, I think initially I was like, oh, I'm going to go learn all this awesome stuff. And sometimes, you know, you learn a little bit, but it's more like about the people you meet. And so, and what you keep learning from each other type of thing.
Yeah.
So I've gone to, in my day, a number of events, you know, general marketing events, to, you know, super intense SEO events, smaller groups, that type of thing. And overall, I found them useful, but as we kind of became better at what we do and more specialized, there were fewer people that really could add a lot of value directly to like what we do.
Yeah.
And so now I still do a good bit of networking, but I feel like it's more on an outreach basis where, and like, I'm in New York. So most people, there are a lot of people here and, a lot of people come through here at some point. So I, you know, a lot of times I'll just reach out on LinkedIn or someone else will reach out on LinkedIn and be like, hey, I saw your website and I liked this and this about it. Like, I'd love to chat about this. And, you know, almost everybody responds to that, which is pretty interesting, I think. So at this point, yeah, I don't go just kind of to events and kind of meet people. I don't think it's a bad thing to do. It's just more how I allocate my time. But I think networking generally is very, very valuable.
I think it's important to understand, like, when you're starting off, it's very lonely as well, right? Like,
yeah.
You feel like you don't even know what the heck you're doing and why you're doing this, right? But there are people that you can, you know, ask for help and are willing to help, right? Business owners, what I found is they're the most generous, most, you know, welcoming people if you actually ask. The challenge is, especially once you get to know them, right? Like, the first thing is don't sell them, right? Don't go out there and try to pitch your product because people hate being sold, right?
Yeah.
Try to give them a help, like, you know, lend a helping hand, find out, you know, where their need is and try to support them in that sense. Once they like you and you like them, then you can ask for favors or ask for help, right?
Yeah. And but, I think, you know, if I were to give a tip too for people reach out to me a decent bit on LinkedIn, that's where you reach out to me, right?
Yes.
I responded pretty quickly, I think, within a couple of days or something. And, you know, I get that a lot. I respond to everybody on LinkedIn. But I don't talk to everybody that reaches out to me. I don't like jump on the phone with everybody. And a lot of it's just because they, you know, if you like research and have good questions and like are not just, you know, blindly looking
copy,
to connect.
Copy, paste, selling you stuff.
Yeah. Or even that, if you're like a super new business owner, you're like, hey, let's jump on the phone. And, you know, if someone like LinkedIn connected with me and they're like, oh, like what tools do you use? I would kind of be like, you know, I don't have time to do one-on-one calls and tell you what tools I use, you know? But if you're like, hey, here's some advanced SEO stuff I've been doing here. I see you're doing this. Let's chat. I'll answer almost anybody, you know, and I take those calls a good bit of time or, you know, and it's not like I like connecting with people and I think it's great. I'm not to say I'm too good to tell you what tools I use, but, it's just kind of like, if you're going to network, you have to bring something as well as get something from
of course, you know. Like doing research, knowing what you're talking about and feeling like you're, and I always try to let people know, like, the more you give, like, give advice, right? Like, if people were to say, look, I noticed this, and then for whatever, an ask, it's a lot warmer than trying to just ask something right off the bat, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's what, I mean, every great networker says this. These are the two things that resonate with me, and I'm not saying I'm the best at these, but I know people that I think are the best networkers I know, and this is what they do religiously, is one, when they connect with you, they just do favors for you. That's how they establish a connection. They're like, hey, I was thinking, you know, I saw this and I wanted to do this for you. Is it cool? Even if it's just like, oh, I want to introduce you to this person. It's like, okay, sure. You know? So one is just, you know, doing favors for them as an introductory point is always really good. And then two, just having a really genuine connection is always the best thing. You know, like, no one, like, the word networking gets a bad rap, and for a reason, where it's like, I don't want to be networked with. I want to connect with other people that I like, you know?
Exactly.
And so if you become friend, you know, I don't think of like this network that I have. I think of these people that I'm friendly with that do business, you know?
Exactly.
And so, like you said, you know, you become friendly with them and know each other. And then that's where, you know, something good can happen business-wise as well sometimes.
Yeah. What I typically do, I've been doing sales all my life, right? And what I always start off with is getting to know them on a personal level. So people always love talking about family, travel, and just, you know, the economy, right? Like, how is the political landscape or the weather? Like, something that's not business related. Once you connect on that level, then you can go into a little bit more deeper conversations. But, you know, it's like people want to know, like, a little bit about each other, right? And once you have that commonality, then you can kind of get to know them to on a personal level, right?
Yeah, I definitely agree.
And I mean, it is practice as well. But again, don't try to sell stuff. People hate being sold to, right? So just be genuine and be authentic. And people can see right through if you're full of crap or if you're actually, you know, real, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So right now, I know you've been in business for so many years. What drives you? What pushes you to continue doing what you're doing?
You know, it's just kind of how I'm wired, I guess. I like doing stuff, you know?
Yeah.
I think if I were to have a weakness, I mean, I definitely have a number of weaknesses, but if I could pinpoint one, it's, that I like do too much stuff where I like, oh, like here's another idea, especially earlier in my entrepreneurial career. I had a number of like companies I had for 3 months where I was like, oh, we could do this. And to this day, you know, they were some great ideas, but you just can't do everything. Your own time is limited. If you split your time, you do all of them a little bit worse usually. So I think that it's just kind of what I like to do is to, you know, create and keep working on stuff and make it work and figure things out and that type of thing. So that's what makes it fun now. And now that we get to have like a bit of a bigger team, we get to move a little faster and do things even better. And, you know, I'm always amazed where you look at something like our YouTube channels, where, you know, it started out with me filming my partner on our iPhones and editing in GarageBand, and they were all terrible. Now we've got, you know, each site has a video production team with graphics and amazing cuts and like all this, you know, stuff that I can't even do myself. So it's really fun to just be a part of what drives that like process of getting better at your craft, even if I'm not capable of personally doing it even at this point.
Yeah, but like as an owner, you don't have to do everything yourself, right? So you know your weaknesses, you go and fill it with people that are strong at that, and it'll save you time, right? So and if you figure that out earlier in your entrepreneurial journey, you're better equipped to become successful so that you don't focus and spend a lot of your time learning or being frustrated or, you know, giving up sometimes, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'll never want to learn this because it's so hard.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, this is like a common thing I hear. I don't know too many entrepreneurs like this, I guess, but some people don't like to be the best one in the room at everything. And which you know, is just a terrible way to do business, I think. Where everyone I hire, I want them to be way better than me.
Yeah.
Than me at something, you know?
Of course.
And that's definitely true of my team, where I think everyone who's here is, they have at least what they do, their core thing, they blow me away. So I always say, like, I don't know if I could be hired at my own company. Because, like, I'm not a good enough videographer. I'm not even a good enough code. Like, I coded the original sites. I'm not good enough to, like, work on them anymore, you know? But that experience, I think, was super valuable as well, where I have done everything, maybe a worse version of what we execute on now, but I have done everything myself. So when I plug in with the video people, or the graphic designers or the tech guys, I know everything they're working on.
Speak
the language and know the priorities. And I still have value because it's like, well, we make these videos, but like, you know, why are we doing it? What's the strategy around it? How do we evaluate success? What are our goals? What are our benchmarks? Why did this work? Why did this not, you know? So that's what I spend a lot of time doing. And it's just really fun. It's kind of like now you have this, like loaded gun you get to fire, and like as opposed to me sitting there and doing everything myself. And so I really enjoy the process now, the size we are, and I hope that we get to keep getting better at everything that we do now and at new stuff as well.
Well, it sounds like you're really having fun, because you know, obviously you're always smiling, so obviously you're doing something right. So as an entrepreneur, when you're not really working, it doesn't feel like work, and you're having fun. This is what happens, like you're always smiling.
Exactly.
Like, you know, and you're always looking forward to what's next, right? Like when you're kind of bored and stagnant and you're going day by day doing the same boring thing, that's when you need new challenges. As an entrepreneur, you always want to look for new ideas, new challenges, and what's new and great, and you know, gaps, right?
So, exactly.
Like every morning, because I've been waking up at like 3-4 a.m. going to the gym, kind of self-reflect and you know, let my mind sink in. That's where I take my best notes, right? The challenge is, who do I give those notes to? Because I'm the owner, and there's a lot of notes out there every day. And every time I bombard it with different departments, they're like, I didn't even finish this 2 days ago when you gave me 10 notes. So, I mean, I get it. And I need to really batch it together, maybe quarterly or monthly. But, you know, as a business owner, this is when you know you have something and you enjoy it, right? Or else why do it? So last couple of questions. So right now, aside from business, I know you mentioned family because you have a one-year-old. What about community? You are in New York. Do you mentor entrepreneurs as well? Like what do you kind of do that, or kind of, because you have a lot of staff, that's like taking care of all 30 people?
Yeah, I would say nothing formally in terms of mentorship. I have a lot of friends that come to me, or you know, or acquaintances even. That I speak with, you know, whenever they would like. And some people it's been an ongoing thing, but nothing like super official. I don't know that I'm like up there just yet. I think the thing I'm really excited about, is just, I just joined the board of a nonprofit, that does, educational like programming and curriculum and stuff, around certain groups in, one of my friends is the founder, and she's worked at this school called Community Roots for a long time, which integrates different socioeconomic groups, different races, and has a lot of the diverse elements in it. And so it's been a great, like a lot of the stuff we talked about, where she's like, I mean, she knows so much about that world, and it's something that I think we should all know more about, and that's why I'm so excited about the nonprofit. But you know, I don't have anything to contribute in terms of or that type of thing. But she's like, can you come on and just, you know, all this business stuff, all the day-to-day stuff, I need someone that can like walk me through it, you know, and like hold my hand, because she hasn't done that part of it before. And so that's not really a mentorship, but that's how I'm contributing to her project. And she's got other board members and experts in, you know, curriculum and development and that type of thing, and community. And so it's been a great, it's early stages with that, but it's a great way to participate in something that I think is really, really meaningful, using some of the skills that I developed as an entrepreneur. So that's been great. And then, you know, business and baby, the first year are, that's a lot. So I haven't done that much else, but, I'm a member of the Baha'i faith as well, which is, a pretty small religion, but a lot of my community activity and the stuff that I find really meaningful, I do with that in mind as well.
Yeah, and I find like a lot of entrepreneurs, they have like everyone's busy, but they have time still for certain things that they love and are passionate about, right? So and you know, it's like everyone's busy. Every entrepreneur has 100 hats, right? But you got to value what's most important to your life, right? So you only have X amount of hours, and make use of it. And, you know, even for myself, I don't watch TV. I don't go on a lot of social media because it's time wasting, or like absorb news, right? Like that stuff I think is very invaluable in my life. and it takes up and sucks up a lot of your time. So you put in the time what you feel is the most valuable, right?
Right, exactly. And I think the lesson I learned this year, which I'll share with as an opinion, is that you want to do all the things that are meaningful to you as well, but I'm not great at stopping and doing nothing also. And I think that, you know, I've reached a number of times a state of overwhelm over the years, just because it's like you have all these things that are meaningful to you. And it's like, well, yes, I don't, you know, I want to be a part of this group. I want to do this activity, and these are all, and I have this business and I have this new idea. You have all these great, you know, if you have 10 good things, it's hard to say, well, I'm doing something wrong, but at least for me, I need to at least take some time and, you know, not jump into the next project or not engage in every good thing out there, because I just end up being a worse version of myself if I don't take time to sit back and at least, you know, refresh a little bit.
Well, and you want to be present, right? And give it all, right? Or else you feel like you're not really contributing. So that's where me self-reflecting in the morning and going on these mini trips every couple months allows me to do that, right? Because, you know, you need that, especially when you're busy. Like an entrepreneur or a business owner, you're just living a very busy life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, it's great. So I really want to thank you. And like, I know there's a lot of guests who are listening and watching. You know, how do people get a hold of you now? Like, what is the best way to reach you?
Yeah, like, I mean, LinkedIn's probably the best where I respond the most. You know, I'm on Twitter. I'll tweet a little bit on there, but I'm not super responsive, to be honest. Those are probably the two best places. Yeah. So just Kenny Klein on LinkedIn. You'll see, you know, a picture of me when I look a lot better than I do day to day.
And your website is it Jack Solutions?
Jack.media is our website.
Okay.
So yeah, we go by Jack Media now. And our four brands, which you can check out the sites and see some of our work firsthand, are barbends.com, sleepopolis.com, securitybaron.com, and mattressclarity.com.
Perfect. And all these will also be listed on the YouTube video as well. So I really want to thank you for your time, Kenny. It was great to get to know you. And hopefully some of the listeners got some great valuable advice, because he's a seasoned entrepreneur with over 9 years of experience. And he's growing his business and still very passionate doing what he loves. So thank you, Kenny.
And thank you so much. It was great to be on. I really appreciate it.
If you're ever in Toronto, ring me up.
I definitely will.
If I'm in New York, I'll definitely ring you up.
Ring me up. I'd love to see you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to our latest podcast. Please subscribe to Local SEO Today and tune in to our next episode.